You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
This is Adam Griffin, and I'm here with my two wonderful co-hosts. First, the Bible Binger, Mrs. Cassie Bryant. How are you doing today, Cassie?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Yeah.
What are you in right now in your Bible reading plan? Are you in a plan right now?
We're reading John. I'm almost finished with John. Nice. And I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I'm going to win part of a Wednesday morning study that's in Job, but I haven't been going to it, so I don't think I can claim that.
No, you definitely can. Also with us today is my Bibling bride, Chelsea Griffin. How are you doing today, Chelsea?
Bibling bride.
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be your Bibling bride.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're married. Is that if that's what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm into it. Yeah.
Also today, honored to have acquired for our conversation the acquisitions director at Moody Publishers and a gifted and talented writer in her own right. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Trillia Newbell is with us today.
Yay! Thank you, guys.
Yeah. How you doing today, Trillia?
I am doing so well. Doing really well. I got a workout in. I'm ready.
Oh, man. Okay. Pump.
Look at her go.
Yeah. I was at the gym this morning and saw some people from our church that I don't normally see there. I was like, man, must be a new year. It's great.
It's a new year.
And I love it.
And then you scared our child. Did you know that?
Yeah. I was in the backyard. He didn't know I was even home or awake. And he walked out and said, there's a scary man in our backyard. It turned out it was
me.
Yes. This morning.
Yeah. That's
funny. We have a hot tub and Adam's back has been hurting. So after his workout, he thought he'd get in the hot tub. And I ran into Theo this morning and I said, did you take care of the dog? And he said, yeah, I took her outside and dad was in the hot tub.
Like an accusation. I'm allowed to be in my own hot tub. All right, Trillia, what does an acquisitions director do? Like if somebody doesn't know what that is, what are you acquiring?
Let me start by saying there's so many different labels and
titles.
So,
yeah.
So I am talking about for Moody Publishers, because you might talk to someone else and they call what I do an editorial director, or they, you know, it all just depends. So at Moody Publishers, as the acquisitions director, I lead our team of acquirers who go out and give book deals. That's the easiest way to. So I also do that. I can, but I am helping us think through what we are going to be acquiring in our future. So what is the church going to be looking at in 2 years, in 5 years? So that's what we're thinking through.
So you're living in the future.
I'm living in the future a lot. Yes.
Nice. Well, you'll have to give us a pulse on where we're going. But other than that job, tell us a little bit about you, yourself, your family, your writing, and then we'll jump into our conversation. But first, who's Trillia Newbell?
Yeah, that question's always funny to me. Who am I? I am a daughter of the king. I am a wife of 20 years and a mom of two teenagers who I love. And I love my husband too. And then I live in the Nashville area. I'm the acquisitions director at Moody, which we talked about, but I am also a writer and I did that first. So I've been doing a lot. I've written books for adults and Bible studies and kids books and all the range. Right. I have a heart for discipleship. So that's kind of what leads my writing is I'm thinking, okay, what can I, with my limited gifting and knowledge, do to help encourage and equip the church with my experiences and Bible study? So that's what I do in a nutshell.
Yeah, I love that. One of the projects you've worked on recently, the reason we wanted to have you on is you had this idea and kind of got this great series together that's a group of Bible studies for kids. Now, can you give us a little overview, maybe the high level view? Why did you think it was important to have kids' Bible studies? I think a lot of people have, you know, children's Bibles, and then you have teenagers have tons of Bible studies, but this age group, why was it important to you to have some kids' Bible studies?
Yeah, so let me tell you what the age group is. It's middle grade, which is about 8 to 12-year-olds. And we have so many things, and I write for those young age that the read alouds and the stuff like that. And we have lots of things for teenagers. But this middle grade area, we just don't have a lot of resources. And what I am realized as raising my own children is that they are starting to learn stuff really early, algebra and geometry, these kinds of big ideas, and studying history and starting to read longer books. But in with the Bible, we tend to still kind of spoon feed them and we don't challenge them, I have seen. And so I thought of, okay, what can we do to equip the middle grade reader to learn the scriptures and start reading the Bible for themselves? Because they're already doing a lot of that kind of work themselves in anyways with education. And so that's what I thought, okay, why don't we do a Bible study, not just chapter books telling them what the Bible says, but getting them to learn how to dig into the word, how to read in context, search for things, cross-reference, all these things that we're doing as adults. Kids can do it. And so that's how that the kids line of Bible studies was birthed at Moody Publishers. It was just, I knew that kids can read the Bible for themselves. If they can do geometry, they can study the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. Why do you think it is that there aren't many resources geared towards that middle grade? I mean, there's plenty of other markets that are targeting them. So why not like the kind of Christian publishing world?
I think it's because it's hard. Mm. You still have to challenge them to do it, right? So for the babies, you're reading there. For the teenagers, you're going to tell them and they're going to do it or they're not. But for that middle grade, it's an assignment and you're still following up and you're asking them how they're doing. So I think it's a challenge for the parent, I think more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And then the parent, so you're still, even though you're saying go and do, there is an involvement there, I think. So I think that's part of it. It's just a challenge. And another thing is I don't think they're thought of as much. Studies show, and I don't know if it was Barna or Lifeway, but a recent study showed that kids develop what they're going to believe at this age. Like by the time they're in middle school, they know, okay, this is the trajectory of my belief. Now, we also know of the power of the Spirit, the power of God. I didn't become a Christian until the age of 22. So those are those formative years. However, God is powerful. And so, but if that's true, I don't quite know why we aren't resourcing this. I also think it is a hard thing to write for the middle grade reader. They're not quite at that teenage and that you can't write young. And it's a challenge to think, okay, that in between where they're still learning language and developing. So it's a challenge. I don't want to be simplistic, but I think that's it. I really think that part of it is just it's challenging. It's easier to think of that younger one, and it's often easier to think of the teenager. We don't even hear people talking much about that middle grade.
Yeah.
You hear people talk about babies and teens, babies and teens.
Oh, yeah. Even my church right now, we're in the middle of, we have a meeting tomorrow, a couple hour long meeting tomorrow to talk about what a preteen ministry might look like, help think strategically about that age group. Because, right now we have kindergartners and 11-year-olds in the same learning environment and they're vastly different,
Vastly different.
So what I hear you saying is that kids this age are ready to be given the tools to study the Bible on their own. And the Griffins have kids in this age range. Almost all three of my girls are in this age range. If we were wanting to make the transition from, reading story Bibles or even just family devotion time to them having personal Bible study, what are some tips you'd give us, some advice?
Do it yourself. So if you, I really do believe that children are going to see you reading or teen it. It's a part of your family, a part of your culture.
Yeah.
It helps. So that would be my first, if I were to say anything to parents, is that you are doing those things yourself. And because they're not going to emulate, they need that example, especially at that, at every age, but they need that example. So that's my first advice. The other thing is to set a time where maybe you can either do it at the same time, but separate, or you can do it at the same time together. So it could be something like you're reading the book of John and you give them a journal and you say, okay, you go read and I'll be reading in this spot and you read and then talk about it. So that's another tip, is that you're not necessarily doing it together, but you're doing it at the same time and talking about it. Another thing is just to provide the resources. My daughter, for example, and I try very hard not to do what I'm about to do is use our family as an example. But my daughter, she really, really wanted this. She reads her truth Bible.
Yeah.
But she didn't just want the Bible. She wanted the labels and she wanted the pens and she wanted the this and the that. And I was like, okay, if that's what is going to excite her and get her engaged, give her all the tools. So figure out what they need to keep reading. I also think, and I think this kind of goes with the first thing I said, is be available for the questions. Don't let them, if they are confused, stumped, or don't believe, be okay with that wrestling and those questions. I think sometimes we, especially as Christians parents, could start getting anxious, like, oh, but be okay with how the journey that the Lord is bringing them on and having that kind of gracious openness, I think helps them to read.
Oh yeah. You'll get eye rolls on Monday morning and then Thursday you'll hear them using what you learned Monday in a conversation with a friend or a sibling. And you're like, okay,
that's good.
His word doesn't return void. Like, you know, we've put in the work, we've sowed the seeds, and then we got to trust the Spirit with that fruit for sure.
Yeah.
Are the resources that you guys are providing, would you also recommend them to parents to do like as a group, or even churches to do like a Sunday school group? Like if we had a group of fifth grade girls or seventh grade boys, to just do that as a small group?
Yes. Let me start by saying that every one of the resources are intentionally gender neutral. any boys, girls, we are not. Great. Yeah. So anyone can use them, the resource, and families could use them for, they have good questions that are going to challenge the families. Church. Yes. The answer is yes. You can use them in your schools. And I know schools that have used the resources in their classrooms. And so, yes, those can be used in different ways to engage the heart and mind, and Sunday school lessons, all of the above. Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's so helpful for churches that maybe can't afford like big curriculum sets or whatever, and they just want to do a Bible study for this age group.
And it's a good challenge, especially if you have I'm going to speak to churches for a second. You had mentioned that there are some churches who they have limited resources. So maybe all they can do is have a class where you have kindergarten to 11-year-olds. But in something like this, you could ask one volunteer to break it up and take those older kids and do something like this, where it's not very intimidating. It's not like a year long.
Right.
Most of them are 6 to 8 weeks. So it's something that's digestible and you can, or a month long that you could do, or you could spread it out. Like, well, we have a Bible study in the book of Mark and you can just spread that out. And so those are those kinds of things that are a little less intimidating, that you don't have to have all the crafts and the sheets and the
lesson prepping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna probably have to do some, but it's not as involved as some of those curriculum that you have. Yeah,
I love it when we take out the crafts.
that's
a great age. Truly, we have so many adults in our churches, and you said you have a heart for discipleship, and this will hit home, is that we have so many adults who are now parenting, but they weren't discipled as a young person and walk in some fear that they don't know the Bible well enough themselves to be able to help their kids learn to study the Bible. How would you encourage them, or what would you kind of tell them to do?
None of us know the Bible enough. Yay! So we are
welcome to the club.
We are all learning, and I think that's the first step. There isn't, unless you know Hebrew and Greek, and you're Jesus.
Nice.
You are all on a journey of learning, and that actually has been what. Okay, I did become a Christian at the age of 22, so I didn't grow up with. This is me. I didn't grow up with the Bible stories, so a lot of my Bible reading, I'm always discovering new things. And when I'm studying something, I'm like, whoa, wait, is that what that means? And now that relates to this in the minor prophets. I did not know. You have to know Genesis to know the minor prophets. You know, I did not know these things. And so it's always exciting. And when my kids ask me things, I think one of the gifts of not, this is going to, one of the gifts of not growing up in the church is that I can say to them, I don't know. Let's look together. Right. And so I think that my first advice to someone who's wasn't discipled is to feel that freedom to say, I don't know. Let's look together, because we are all growing and learning. And until we're with Jesus and we can see clearly, we're going to be learning for the rest of our lives. So a dose of humility and just knowing that, I think, helps. And just knowing that we're in it together and not a single one of us has arrived. There are going to be people who know more than we do, but none of us have arrived. So that's encouraging, I think. And then the other thing I would say is to be discipled. So if you are an adult, you still need to be discipled. That's so true. I always have an older person in my life who's discipling and teaching me, or I have I'm studying and learning myself. So I really do believe it begins with us, which is why I kind of started out this whole conversation with, well, it begins with you. Because if you aren't learning yourself, it's really hard to teach. And if you're not equipping and repenting and all the things, it's hard to encourage your kids to do that. So I would encourage you to be discipled. And whatever way that can looks like, I love that one-on-one with other people, but you can also be discipled through resources. And of course, being a part of a body is a part of being discipled. So I think that's incredibly important. So I don't have a five steps, but I do think that knowing that you are learning also and being discipled yourself will help you disciple others.
Yes, ma'am. That's a good word for the church, for all of us. Okay, to get a little more personal with you, we would love to know, what does Bible study look like in your family?
Yeah. Okay. So it looks different in my family. So I have an almost 18-year-old who has lived in the book of Job for, it just feels like a year. He just won't move past Job. And I'm like, okay, great. You're still studying Job. Study Job. You know, and so I will say this also. I'm really cautious about talking about my kids' faith.
Sure.
Sure.
Because it's their own. And so one teen will do that. And then I will study with the other teen, the one teen who's stuck in Job, we also read Mere Christianity together and Reason for God. So he's like books and all those things. The other gal, my girl, she is more like she reads Truth Person. So she's reading and highlighting. And then my husband and I did a resource called 52 Weeks in the Word. Right. And so we've been reading through the Bible, which isn't a Bible study. I think that's really important to say. Bible study and Bible reading are two different things.
Yeah.
And so we've been reading through the Bible, and I will pause to do some deeper study. But right now I'm in a season of just reading to comprehend and understand a little bit. And so it looks different. So we have not in this season come together and have on Monday nights, we do this together. Not in this season, we are not. In the past, we have. So in this season, we've got people doing their own little things.
Listeners, we've got a new ad from one of our favorite sponsors, my friend Claire. Shout out to you over at Sky Ranch Camps. Sky Ranch has an exciting new offer to share with you. Now, we at the Family Discipleship Podcast, we love summer camp. We believe it can be an incredible discipleship milestone for your family, for your child. Whether your child is 6 or 16, they're going to have the best week ever getting outside, unplugging from technology, being surrounded by mentor-minded counselors that are crazy intentional about their safety, of course, but also their fun and spiritual growth. So we're grateful to partner with Sky Ranch in offering your child $200 off their first week of overnight camp. Just use the code SKYFAMILY, S-K-Y, FAMILY, when you register at skyranch.org. You're going to see a clear difference at Sky Ranch. Their programs are crazy fun with a powerful purpose. So if you haven't figured out what your kid's doing this summer, or if you haven't ever checked out the ministry of Sky Ranch, go to skyranch.org today. Again, $200 off with the code SKYFAMILY.
Hey, listeners, we live in a world where anxiety, depression, and weariness seem to be the basic descriptors of our lives. For many of us, our calendars and our plates are overfull, yet our lives still lack joy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus invites you to have true and abundant joy that's only found in Him. In John 15, Jesus reveals three very surprising pathways to finding this type of joy. You can discover these pathways in the new book, Overflowing Joy, by author and Bible teacher Tara Dew. This is available at lifeway.com, and you can save 40% off with the code JOY40. Again, that's J-O-Y, the number 4, the number 0, at lifeway.com. The new book is Overflowing Joy by Tara Dew. Check it out.
Yeah, I love a lot of what you said there. And of course, every family looks different and every kid is different and every season for every family is different. I love differentiating between studying the Bible and reading the Bible. I think there's an easy guilt that sinks into some people when they read the Bible and they go, I don't understand every word. I don't get what that person got out of it. And you go, well, let's start by reading it and we'll see. And then, you know, there are a lot of helps to study. I think one of the other things about this age group, Trilly, and I love that you cast this vision for creating resources for this age group, but it's also the age not only where kids are able to maybe study on their own, part of that is they're developing this autonomy, you know, this independence.
Yeah.
So it can also be the age where they develop a little bit more resistance. Like maybe in the past there's been, you know, we're going to do this family discipleship time. We're going to sit down, have this devotion. We're going to read this children's Bible. Now it's like, well, we want you to study the Bible for yourself. And there's maybe a little bit more resistance to say, well, I don't want to. And I think parents would be helped by maybe us giving an encouraging word to say, if you're saying, hey, I want you to study the Bible, and your kid is a typical kid, don't be surprised if there's some eye rolls or resistance from some kids. But how would you encourage parents to either push through or navigate an 8 to 12-year-old who's being told, hey, I really want you to study the Bible, and is maybe feeling a little less than willing?
Yes, that's a great question. I would probably ask some questions before, like, why? What's going on there? Why are you resistant? Is it you're just maybe being lazy? Is it that you think that God is distant? Do you know Him? I would ask some questions, because, and I should say also, I haven't experienced it, so I am speaking out of ignorance here. Someone who's resistant, I have had resistance it's just interesting. So I would ask questions, because I'm not really sure why would the kid not want to, except that you're telling them to do something, and that probably
that's enough.
I mean, some kids just are defiant, and but I haven't experienced defiance.
Well, praise God for that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so every kid is different, and
totally.
Yeah. And so
I think if it has been an inconsistent pattern for a family to be in the Word together, and you suddenly spring on them, hey, I want you to study the Bible for yourself, I can see a kid going, well, this is new and different. And I love what you said at the beginning, Trilia, about kind of casting that example for kids. And if they haven't had an example and they haven't processed with their parents, they haven't studied the Bible together or seen their parents study the Bible, it might be something unfamiliar. And therefore, we shouldn't expect our kids just to be able to jump into the Bible all by themselves instantly. But same way we would say, get discipled if you haven't been, disciple your kids if you haven't been. Yeah. If you haven't discipled your kids.
I can share something about my own life rather than the defiance of my kids. I recently was talking to my daughter about reading something together, and she said, do you think we'll be consistent and do it? And I was like, oh. And she said, well, last time we didn't finish it. And it was my fault.
Oh.
And she picked up on that.
Yeah.
And so I realized that if life gets busy or something happens, I can easily, oh, well, we'll do that later. And she recognized, Mom, you haven't been faithful. Mm. Like the last time we talked about this, we didn't finish it. And I was like, oh, conviction. You know, I was like, I was so convicted.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I can talk about my own heart and my own sin pretty easily. And I told her I was sorry, and that, oh man, I did. I messed that up, didn't I? And the Lord, He was so gracious. I was like, well, next time I'll be faithful. Thank you for reminding me that I didn't finish that thing that we were supposed to be doing together. And that, I think, is probably more what our problem would be, is not that I have defiant kids or our kids, like we have to be, we are very busy like everyone else. I hate that word, sure. But it's so true. And so yeah. I have to make sure my yes is yes. And that if I say I'm going to do something, to follow through and to be faithful. And in those seasons when life starts to, you know, mess up our schedule, that I communicate really well with our kids, because they know they're so observant. And, yeah. And so that to me is where I have had to ask for forgiveness and start again.
Yeah. Me too.
I wonder too, like, this is the age group where they're still crave time with parents, you know, like even one-on-one time, and they're still easily motivated by, like, you know, a donut date or a Starbucks run or, you know, bubble tea or what, you know. So I wonder if you're meeting some resistance with one specific kid, if it's like, why don't we on this Saturday mornings or on Sundays before church, it might mean taking two cars, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to go grab donuts and study together, and kind of making it, you know, like holding their hand a little bit more rather than just shoving the resource, you know, in their room and be like, you're going to do this now, you know, which is kind of what y'all said, do it alongside them, model for them what yes. it looks like, but also give them the benefit and the treat of just time with you as a parent.
I think that's because our kids are not projects.
Right.
They're humans. Yeah. And so when we start to treat them like project, I think they would resist. Mm-hmm. But building a relationship, I think that is so important. And I love that, having a consistent time where you're together. I have tried to make talking about the Lord pretty natural, not mm-hmm. like this.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, boom. Right now is our Bible time. But just like, how are you doing? And asking questions. And of course, I do have older kids now. Like, well, one girl, my girl is 14. So she's still baby, but she's not. And she's almost 15. And then I have an 18-year-old almost, which just boggles my mind. But so we're in just a different season. But I do think a lot of that building that relationship when they were younger has benefited where we are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Well, I want to get back to the series real quick. We talked a lot about the concept of the series, but not necessarily the series specifically. You know, you had Rebecca McLaughlin do a study on Mark, which is great. And then Catherine Parks did one on Colossians. And then I was so honored to contribute a study of Proverbs to the series, which has been a blessing. That came out in January, When Wrong Seems Right, which I loved getting to contribute and was so honored to be part of this vision, because I really love the vision, Trillia, of reaching this age group and helping them see that they can study the Bible. And I've heard that even in feedback from parents and kids who have seen their parents study the Bible were like, oh, I can be invited into this. I can do this too. I thought that was just a thing that we reserved for adults. And I thought I had to wait to study the Bible. They felt really honored, like they were being invited into being an adult, which I've loved. Now, you also are contributing to this series. You've got one coming out in the spring on Romans 8 called God is for Us. I wonder, could you tell us a little bit about why did you settle on Romans 8 for yours? And what are you excited about that study?
Yes. Oh, well, Romans 8, I did a study for women, actually, but anyone has used it, called If God is for Us, and it's on Romans 8. And the response to that study has been so rich and encouraging, because Romans 8 is rich and encouraging. And so when I thought about, oh, what could I do for kids? I just think a gospel rich resource that will help them understand the middle of Romans, the Holy Spirit and suffering, and that God is with us and for us at such a young age would really help build a foundation of just faith. And so I that's it. I thought, what can I introduce to kids that will challenge them to read the whole book of Romans, but will also encourage them to know that God is with them for eternity, like that they can go to God and that they can repent and that they have, they can call and ask the Lord to help them. I mean, there's like so much in Romans 8. So that was it. I want kids, I want everyone to know God. And so Romans 8 is just so rich. I wanted them to start there. And that's it.
I love it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Adam, can you buy me all of Trillia's books?
Yeah, no problem.
I want that 52 weeks. We have
several of them. Yeah.
I want that 52.
Yeah. 52 weeks in the Word.
Yeah. And then I want that if he's for us.
Yeah. Okay. It's only for women. So I don't have that one. So okay, yeah. I'm just kidding. It's
yeah. You're going to have to read it in the men's.
Yeah. Is there a mansplaining version of if God is for it?
No. Okay. The good news is I have had so many men who read my resources because it's just Bible.
Yeah, of course.
Just,
yeah.
You know, it has a blue cover, but it's just Bible. And it's been so encouraging. Yes. But thank you. That's really encouraging. Thank you, Chelsea.
Okay, so if parents are just getting started discipling their families, is there a part of the Bible that you'd suggest they start with?
So that question's always so hard to me because it's kind of, well, you could start with Genesis 1 so that they could understand the foundation. Okay, where does it begin? Yeah. Who is God? Yeah. He's at the beginning. Where does it all begin? And so I think that's kind of important. However, you could also start with the Gospels.
Yeah.
So I think either one of those are good places to begin. Genesis 1, because you have to understand that God created the world, who God is, and the Trinity and all of that. And it establishes everything that we need to know about the rest of the word.
Yeah.
But then you could start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it doesn't matter. So I have a really hard time, but I think that's my answer.
No, I think that's great. In some ways, like it's like saying, where should you jump into the pool? And you're like, well, anywhere you jump in, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to start at the stairs maybe and say Genesis. Yeah. That's where most people start.
Yeah.
Or to, if you're ready, jump off the diving board and go right into the Gospels and see how the fruition of all these things happened. But
yes,
you're not really going to go wrong. Although maybe I wouldn't start with Song of Solomon if you have 8 to 12 year olds. Probably not start
there. Or maybe not the Minor Prophets. You'll be like, what? Yeah.
A lot of locusts. Yeah. A lot of
So Trillia, if a 11-year-old approaches you at church and is asking about studying the Bible and you give them this resource, what are some practical tips you would give them? You know, how would you say to start? How do you get started?
Well, they're all different. So I would tell them to start at the introduction and see how the writer asked them to start.
That's good. That's good
because enough. They are so different and they're different books. You study. So one of the things that I really wanted to do also is they're not cookie cutter.
Right.
Because when you're studying the Gospels, you're going to study a little different. Yeah, I mean, the basics of Bible study are the same, right? You observe, you interpret, all that, et cetera.
Ask questions, apply.
Yeah. Yeah. The basics are the same. So I would encourage them, if they had the book, I would say, let's read the introduction together and see if you have any questions about how to study this book of the Bible with this resource. So, however, if they just came to me and asked me, how do I read the Bible? That's a different conversation. Right. And so I might tell them, okay, well, you could start by see if you can sit down and read the whole that book, read the book and see, and maybe ask questions about who's the writer? Where are they writing from? Do you see anything that says that? So I would, it would all just depend on what they're talking about. So for the resources that Moody has, that would be my encouragement, is to read the introduction with them and help get them started. This is how the writer has encouraged you to read this.
That's good.
This book and follow along. Go. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, especially if you're going to set your kid up to study the Bible on their own, to say, well, let's read the introduction together before we send you off so we understand.
Yep.
And you're right. Every resource is different, not only in this series, but you go to any publisher or any Moody resource, you're going to start with the introduction. It's a great way to start. I am guilty of skipping the introduction in many books as I was growing up. And then I realized, like, oh, if I don't read the introduction, I miss the whole point sometimes. So starting with the introduction. introduction is really helpful.
Especially with a Bible study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you want to know the message and the method, yeah. right? It's like, yes, what am I trying to get across, and how is this author setting me up? And so what are they expecting? Absolutely. Now, Trilly, this has been so helpful. I really hope that there's parents listening to this and encouraged, thinking about, okay, my kid is at an age where I have been lowering the bar maybe, or assuming the bar is low for them, but I can raise the bar and say, hey, I think you can study the Bible. I love the way you described it. Our kids are learning all kinds of things in school and they're challenged by that. So we don't need to spoon feed them everything when it comes to their spiritual life. And they're hitting an age where we can challenge them a little bit. And this series is a great way to do that. We're really looking forward to your Romans 8 study as it comes out in May. But before we let you go, Trilly, would you maybe give us some idea of how our listeners can be praying for you, praying for your family? What are the things that are going on in the New Bell home or at Moody that we can pray for? Since you live in the future, maybe we can be praying about that.
Yeah. Goodness. Okay. So you can pray. I am always writing. And so you could be praying for the things that I am writing, and because it's I don't stop ever. I don't stop writing ever. And so, yeah, praying that the Lord will give me the words to say and knowledge well beyond my understanding and my wisdom, so that I can encourage the church. For my family, you could just be praying. We're in a season of launching.
Oh, no.
That's the season we're in. Launching adults. So yeah. We just need all the wisdom and a lot of grace. And
amen.
And then for Moody, yes, we are. Our mission is to resource the church to make disciples. And so praying that we could have eyes for that future, what the church might need, would be a gift.
I love that. I hope our listeners join you in that. And yeah. I hope you never stop writing, Trilly. We love what you write.
Thank
We're about to, our Amazon cart is about to be full of New Bell resources, which is great.
That's encouraging.
Well, thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit one of our sponsors and share this episode with one of your friends. If you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners, and we'll be back with a new episode next week.